evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And for those of you who get my little flyer, we're talking these days about spirits. We're talking about a number of things. One is how to consciously radiate out into the world in order to create the reality you want. We're also talking to spirits because it's time. And because I have for years and years, but I usually don't advertise it, but it just seems to be coming up a lot. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it is that I'd like to see some of the spirits that are present, but also as we want to radiate by choice and create a different reality, sometimes what's happened in our lineage and the people that have already passed on are things that the issues, the reactions, the what may be the belief structure of the family and so on, all of that is still sort of imposing or impinging our freedom to express at a higher and higher level. And so many beings of light and so many spirits want to be heard. They want you to pay attention to them because they can, when they're on that side and they're afflicted with a link between you and them, meaning, well, I think I told this story once before. I was on my way to see a psychologist because I was trying to save my marriage. And somebody appeared in the back seat of my car, and it was a spirit being who was a great-great-grandmother. And what she said was that through her reactions in life, she had put a real resistance to men or a real cynical response to men in her psyche, and that had come down through the lineage, through the feminine, through the females in the family from her, which was very interesting to me. And I could tell who she was just because she looked a lot like my mother, only not, you know, you can sort of say, oh my goodness, who is she? But she must be on the maternal side. And the thing is once I got that information, it was easier to work with that particular issue and clear it, and also that clears her. So she got the freedom. And when you're on the other side, you've all heard this before, if you're really pissy and angry and so on and you die that way, or if you're going to commit suicide to get out of everything, you don't really get out of very much. It just seems like you still have to cart that same energy, the same kind of energy program with you. Now, there are exceptions to everything I'm saying, and there always are exceptions, aren't there? Some people don't need to do it. I don't know if Socrates had a huge number of things to cart with him after he took his hemlock. Do you think, Bob? Like, I'm thinking that there are probably more realized souls that when they die, they don't need to cart all that with them. And they say that the lamas and the Rinpoches and so on, when they die, a lot of them don't even get rigor mortis because their bodies remain soft because they're not just full of beliefs and substructures of attitude and reaction, which is what we're talking about that you carry with you. So when I talk about that, I go, well, very often the people that come to see me anyway, and I've had this my whole life really, but it kind of amps up through the years. The people that have come to see me always have something specific to say. And if you think of it a certain way, you go, oh, they're coming to free themselves and the lineage so that if I'm freed from my mother's grandmother talking about her resistance or cynicism about men, if I can really get with that and really resonate with that and talk to her that way so we're both resonating with it, it can get blown away. And guess what? My daughter and my grandchildren and so on all get released as well because, as you all know, the DNA is this really interesting kind of radiant message sender, isn't it? And these are the programs that we can clear with the help of ghosts. Oh my goodness, ghosts. We're scared stiff of them because of Hollywood, but actual ghosts are not very scary spirits. And for those of you who listen to Paradigm Shifters, first of all, I'm really excited because we're picking up speed on that, and some of the podcasts are up on my website now. But if you heard Julia Assant, and she wrote a book called The Final Frontier, A very, very good book. And all the way through it, she's talking about how spirits really have messages. I'm going, yeah, I knew that. But one of the things she said that really released me is that it's okay to call them in. And I never did call them in. I let them come because I thought it was their journey to do that. But to call them in, I felt, and I had been taught, I guess, as a Catholic kid, that calling them in was disrupting their soul's journey, and that we weren't supposed to do that, that they were supposed to go off to be with the light or with God or whoever you pray to. And I didn't want to disrupt the path. So it's a very interesting subject. Last week we had a caller, and we had a spirit connection for her, and we're going to see several more today. And if you want to call in, I'd really love it if you call in. We'll look at the spirits around you. And before this, I was doing a little channeling. I was talking to the guides, and we were talking about, for example, a wonderful woman who was afflicted with Alzheimer's after her kids grew up, and she was very busily studying things and doing original research and so on, and she got Alzheimer's. And the retrospective about that is she probably, and this is kind of important, she was working with plants and things a lot and studying them, and she probably got it through having toxic, you know, sprays and so on coming through her skin and all that. But in any case, she showed up, and what she wanted to say was that in the Alzheimer's, what she's saying right now, she's standing here right now, a wonderful woman, and what she's saying is in the Alzheimer's condition that she was in, she had some amazing mystical experiences. Now, she was also Catholic. And the one thing, I'm not saying we should all become Catholic, but a lot of us who were in the mystical world were raised Catholic. And most of you know that that meant that we were talking to angels and saints and gosh knows who all, and swinging the incense and hoodly-hoo. And it isn't unusual to see spirits if you're always focusing on that kind of thing. All of you would be doing it, I'm sure. So in any case, she was saying that the Alzheimer's things, in the middle of it, she was able to focus on, and she had a lot of nightmarish things going on, but sometimes she was able to have some very strong mystical experiences, and she gained a lot. And she actually gained, here's what she's saying, in her way, having Alzheimer's and so on, she gained a terrific respect for herself. Now, I would never have thought that. But apparently she did. She found places inside of herself and comprehensions about life that were really, really huge, and comprehensions about beings beyond and the, what's she calling them? Okay. So, and the etheric presences that truly exist all around, and how they gave her a hand, they gave her help. They helped her form a rather interesting etheric environment with quite a bit of a crowd, and she said she gained a lot. So she wants to say that. She wants to say it to the people who were specifically related to her, but she also wants that kind of information to be known. This is a very intelligent woman who liked research. So let's bless her and thank her for that. And then we're going to do our meditation. I like to say, let's everybody connect for our sacred geometric meditation. Okay, so I have another daughter and her father. Okay, I'm asking them to wait. Now, here's something I've experienced. If a spirit comes to talk to me and I'm in the middle of doing something that is counter to stopping and talking to them, they will wait, or they'll come back in 10 minutes. You know, they can be directed. They don't come in like they do in the horror movies and run your life for you. So let's do our meditation together, because one of the things that I've been studying a lot, because I'm always studying, because I do these radio interviews and they're so wonderful, and books come pouring in the mail, and I try to get through them before I talk to the people that I'm interviewing, and I've really learned so much. One of the things that we keep talking about is the coherence field, the cohesive field of, for example, transcendental meditation with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. We've heard the stories about how many TMers, transcendental meditators, got together for about 3 months and meditated around Washington, D.C., and then the crime rate dropped radically. And we were learning a lot about how, if you're, for example, when I was interviewing Stuart Mooney, who's a Oneness Blessings Fellow and was also a big TMer, he's talking about brain scans being done on people who do these things. And the thing he found out by doing some research in Yale many years ago in the very severely mentally challenged wards, he found out that by doing outrageous meditation things and swinging the incense and the camphor and chanting and teaching somebody who's in a catatonic state how to do meditation, there was a certain amount of the coherence or the resonant adjustment of that fellow's brain between his brain and this fellow's brain, and the fellow began to come to after, I guess, 3 or 5 years or something of having been, he said he stood around mostly like a lamp, but he began to get oriented to life again because the resonance coming from one to the other, as long as you can hold your resonance at a high enough level, is a very powerful healing technique for consciousness on this planet. So why I like to do our connected, our mutual meditation is because when we all meditate together, we are creating a coherent community vibration, which has a huge impact on the planet. And you and I, we're involved in the shift. Oh, my goodness, this is the time where the vibrations are speeding up, and we can take them in, and we can transform some of the old beliefs that are inside of us. Okay, you're going to be on the air before we do our meditation, but just let me finish this thought, okay? So it's really important that we learn to radiate consciously, set the resonance, and really move it through, but also connect with others that way. Don't go down because of theirs. Go up because you're the one who's setting the tone. So I'm going to take a break here and talk to my wonderful caller before I do what I said I was going to do, which is do this joint meditation. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I've got severe muscular skeletal problems, and I'm wondering if you see any problems in my lineage, or however you pronounce that word.
Now, what's your first name?
Carol, from Kansas.
Hi, Carol. Nice to meet you. I don't think we've talked before, have we?
No, we never have. I've listened to you quite often, but I've always haven't had the nerve to call in, so tonight I amped up my nerve, and here I am.
And I want to ask you something about your muscular skeletal problem.
Okay.
Does it go through your whole body? Is it what I'm seeing on the right side of the skull and down the neck, and as if your vertebrae are really probably inflamed,
yes.
Are they?
Yes, yes, severe problems there.
Okay. We're going to see what we can do. Now, you have, we're going to talk to, sorry, I'm getting very emotional. There's someone right near you who, he's wearing, is male, and he's wearing, okay, Carol, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Did you have this as a child?
It's quite possible I had as a child. I had my brother threw a piece of scaffolding and hit me in the temple on that right side, and I very well could have had it as a child. It just, you know, at the time, I must have thought everybody was that way, so I didn't realize it. It just, you know.
Saves us from a little trauma. Okay, because what I'm seeing is that there's a man, and he's dressed in, like, the kinds of robe things that people wore nonchalantly around 1700s, you know, men wore long cloaks.
Right.
And, the lineage I'm seeing is solar, meaning it's not just in your family. It might be, but it looks like it's very much a soul situation. And you really loved him, and he, me see here. I think this is a case of, it's a very intense case of abuse, and I'm trying to get the relationship between you and him. I think he was a relative, and he was abusing you quite a bit, sexually.
Mm.
But you loved him. You know how that happens
mm-hmm.
with people who are victimized, and it's funny, my body hurts as we talk about this. And he,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and he wants you to know, because I'll tell you what, Carol, you've had this kind of affliction in several lifetimes. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's saying he wants you to know that he's saying he loves you. He wants to unhook this in the lineage. Now, remember that the DNA and all that is a kind of a radiant communication system, right? He wants
mm-hmm.
to unhook that for you because it's been,
mm-hmm.
see, and it gets makes your bones cold. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really weird. So stay with that bones. Just pay attention to your bones for a minute because he's saying he wants you to know how deeply, for some reason, you did something for him. He says how deeply grateful I was and how deeply tragic it is that I took you over the way I did, and it kept you from being free to be who you are. And he's very much standing right there wanting to pull. I don't know how this works because it's several lifetimes back, but he's wanting to pull his affliction from you. Yeah, there it is. It's like a radiant thing, and he's pulling it. I can feel it running through your body. Can you feel that?
I feel some stuff on my right side, all up and down.
Okay,
and
it's going
on. And
right into your spine. Do you feel that right going right into the spine there?
Yeah, I'm always aware of stuff in my spine there, but yes, I can. I think I can feel that.
Okay, so what we're going to do is help him along. He is saying to you, first of all, people should listen to this part for all of our sakes because he loved you and he abused you and you loved him and you got victimized. You know how confusing that is to people?
Yeah, I think I'm quite confused now, so yeah, I think I do know how confusing it is.
Yeah, because people, anyway, we don't have to get too intellectual here. I just want you to hold that awareness because what he wants to do, he's actually a fairly refined being, but in any case, he wants to take that from you, and he's saying it's time. And then he shows the ability that you have to be walking hand. Oh, I see what he's saying. You have the ability to be walking hand in hand because he can extricate himself from the damaging, I don't understand, okay, the damaging qualities, the damage that he's imposed upon you cellularly, he can help extricate you from that. And he
mm-hmm.
says he would like you to know that he's going to do his best, and there is a change going on in your body. You'll have to phone us next week and tell us what happened. But he wants to be able to walk hand in hand with you and support you more because you need a lot of support in this life. Do you know that?
Yes, I do, and I have very, very little.
And that's what he's saying. You have very little. And what he
mm-hmm.
wants to do, and his, you have to understand when I see this, it's not like a photograph, and yet I can see tears in his eyes. And he's wanting to, he's awakened to his ability to love and he's found a completion where he is. There's a lot of work on the other side. And he wants you to be able to hold his hand and feel that companionship. You have your higher guides and angels and so on. But this is something that's been in the physical. Now watch your liver. Your liver is going funny. Look at that. Can you see that? Can you
mm-hmm.
feel that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we're just going to run some energy through there. And remember that your cells have it's like they've recorded this relationship to identity. And how old are you, Carol?
I'm 68.
Okay, good. Because he's saying he wants very much to walk with you so you will not feel so, you have felt isolated and somewhat cornered a lot, in especially in the later part of your life. And he wants you to feel that fresh air that runs through your cells. He wants you to feel, there it is. Yeah. It's going to take a little while, and we're recommending that you talk to him and use music and talk to your own, to God or Creator Spirit. Call in the presence and just keep walking out of the way you have been recorded. Your identity has been recorded. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm trying to, yes.
Okay, well, I think that he, I don't know if we can actually find a record of him, but if you look back, he says he's in your family lineage as well. Some people call it lineage. Some people, I call it lineage, and that's just how I was raised to say it. But
you said this is back 1700s.
Yeah, and he was intelligent, scholarly, and fairly sensitive. But like a lot of us, he was a little distorted. So you had this strange connection with him, and it was mixing.
And now
up
that recording is running through my cells.
Yes. Somehow. Yes, but he's. See, my body's just buzzing like mad. He's saying he can help undo this because he's awakened enough that he can come and do it. So if you could call him, and I'll say this to everybody at home, call him up, even if you can't sort of place his physical, mental, and emotional memory in you. Call him up in your body, mind, over and over again, and ask your angels to take this out. Help him take this out, because I think it's going to release you quite a bit.
So what is his name? I mean, is there
I'm not very good at the name. I would say it's something like Daniel.
Okay.
And it looks like it's the eastern states, northeastern states, that you knew each other. You were very elegantly dressed, both of you. And,
wow.
And relatively educated, you know, more refined people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that's all for now, but what he really wanted to do is establish a rapport with you, because in time he's going to be walking and holding your hand in a way that will make you feel accompanied, which you haven't felt for a long time.
Yes, it's very, very true, and I tell him I appreciate that very, very much.
And he can hear you, and he said, and again his eyes fill with tears, even though he doesn't really have eyes like you and I, and he says to remember that he loves you, and his experience of awakening has helped him perceive this love at a deeper level. So he wants to work specifically with you to bring that love to you, to give you companionship. Do you live alone, Carol?
No, I have a husband, but we live in separate houses because I'm so ill. Like there's a wood stove over there, and he burns wood, and I can't handle any of that stuff. So we're kind of separated in a way. And he's got his own lot of issues. So we kind of live our separate lives, actually.
But it's really interesting to me. You look like you're going to feel companionship with this spirit being, because he's someone, and we all have this, he's someone that deep in your soul and heart you know. See?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that distortion. And I think it's going to improve your ability to have a relationship with your husband in time, but we don't need to go there yet. This is step by step.
Okay, well, I just appreciate any help I can get, because I'm really...
You suffered a lot, sweetie.
Yes, yes.
Well, you have a whole community around you of wonderful beings, but this one is very significant for you. So I hope that you'll let us know or email me if you feel like letting me know what happened.
Well, I don't get on the computer too much. It's very painful for me to be on the computer, but...
Well, if you're listening
again, I will attempt to do that.
Yeah, if you're listening again, just if you feel like it, we'd love to hear or phone me. Or
something. Oh, that would I would be grateful that I love your call, so I'm always on. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you so much. Well, I really honor your courage and strength to call us in and have us bring this wonderful being to you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad I got up enough nerve to call.
Me too, Carol. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
All right. So let's do our meditation right now. I love that call. Thank you, Carol, and thank you to this wonderful being who's back there. I call him wonderful even though he distorted some things because he's really working his way out of it and really wants to make a difference. I guess we called him in and he came. So let's close our eyes, everyone. Take a couple of deep breaths. We're going for that great vibrational coherence, the resonance of evolution, love, and the shift. Above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop your filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Excellent. Now drop a four-sided pyramid and make that gold, too, from the upper golden ball to about waist height, a little distance away from your body. And then upside down, another golden pyramid, and its lower point goes into the lower golden ball. Put the two pyramids together, and you got yourself an octahedron, an eight-sided wonderful structure. And now inside of the octahedron, you have a crystal ball. Yeah. And inside of that, there you are, and you have a star tetrahedron around you, which is sort of like a three-dimensional Star of David. And I want you to spin and spin and spin. And as you're spinning, in front of you appears this wonderful, magical screen. And we're going to make little movies. We're going to change the world. We're up for Academy Awards. So the first movie you make is you becoming what you want to become. Good. That's it. And I'm laughing because I was saying, really, I want to talk to more spirits, and boy, I see myself up there becoming someone who really associates with all kinds of spirit communities, and it seems to be easier and easier, so that's what I want. I want to be multidimensional and consciously so. And when you see yourself becoming whatever it is you want to become, let's just grin, high-five ourselves, wrap that in light, move it to the side, and then our next movie is you creating what it is you want to create. And it can be a book, a movie, a home, a partnership, or like in Carol's, I mean, it could be something like an association with her lineage in such a way as to unhook the pain that's resonating through her DNA, your own, you know. It can be anything you're wanting to achieve. Project. And now you see all the pieces coming together. You've got the time, you've got the space, you've got the ability, you've got the success. Wonderful. See all the pieces coming together. When your project is working really well, let's have a big grin. Yay! And then see the resources coming to continue that, to sustain your project. That's good. And now wrap that in light when you think it's really doing well. Now let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. Okay, and then we're going to see a wonderful healing team. Remember, you and Carol, too, and you have your healing team in amongst your angels around you, right? Wonderful beings, and they are very magical because they work on many different dimensions. They work with the etheric. And you put this wonderful table there, healing table, and jump on it. You're the first one to come into the healing room. And when you lie on the table, you either ask them for what you want, or they tell you what you might need. That's good. So I'm lying on the table, and I'm really enjoying this a lot. My body's just buzzing away. Yours. Good. And when it really gets going and there's And now wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And now let's have our team replicate themselves around another healing table. This time I want to put Carol on the healing table with her muscular and neuromuscular difficulties there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to ask the guides and angels to work on her. We have an in comes, that spirit being that she has been attached to in terms of her lineage. But there's many other beings, too, and they're working with their whole body. They're just, there you are, pulling things out. You know what's interesting, Carol? They're pulling things out of your organs because that, a lot of the cells, you know, when people are born again, they often carry messages in various organs from other lifetimes. So they're pulling things out of the liver, the heart, the lungs. Remember, lungs hold karmic grief, and you have a distortion in there. They're trying to pull that out for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as they pull, things, strands move more and more. Yeah, there you are. And then we're going to wrap this scenario in light and move it over to the side so Carol can keep being healed, or whoever you brought into your galactic healing center can be healed. Now I'm looking at this woman who's got her knee, her left knee is a total mess, and she had an abusive environment from a boyfriend, and now she's just hobbling in and out of the door and has to go get a job. She's in her 60s. She's a very good woman and very much a metaphysician. So we have her on the table, and she's gotten heavy because with her legs hurting like they have, she hasn't been able to do her normal workout, although she's getting there again. So we have her lying there, and we have this healing team around. And remember, this is the time of the shift in 12-12-12, from what I heard, which was yesterday, was a tremendous download day for new feminine energy, rebalancing the masculine and the feminine. So there we are. And so we're calling in that as well as what our team is working with her on. That's right. And they're pulling a lot of memory out of her brain. Not that she's going to forget everything, but old memory of old programs and fear that she had from this ex-boyfriend who turned out to be kind of manic. There you are. It's scary. They're pulling all that out. And then we're going to call in the beings who layer after layer after layer move all the way past each of these wonderful healers way out into other dimensions. So you can just feel these multi-dimensions pulsing around her. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll wrap that in light, move it over to the left. That's right. And now we're going to bring in a political situation. I want to call it, let's do the world. It just seems like we're the shift has been all about revelations of the inequities and deceptions that are going on in systems. And we've all seen it. I mean, it's been over and over again for the last while, just amping up. So let's bring in the world, the global economic system. And let's see if we can infuse a lot of the beings who are in very, very strong and high positions, infuse them with that light, the light of the shift. That means that they feel, it's like this spirit that came in. He says that he has learned a lot more about love, and he's opened to love. And what is love? Love is an expansive, a mutually expansive sharing kind of feeling, isn't it? It's very contagious and very healing and very inspiring. So let's actually call in these huge, huge energies. There's so many downloads coming. Can you feel them? I just hold my hands up and my hands just go berserk. They love it. So let's call in these higher frequency energies. Really enjoy their presence. And now let's move them up through the spines of all these different people that are CEOs or the head of banks or they're running countries or they're presidents or they're leaders of leaders of any kind, whether it's merchant leaders or war leaders or the Obama administration or Congress or the Republicans or the Democrats or whatever they call themselves, and keep sending this love energy up through their spines. This is real guerrilla stuff, isn't it? Where everybody you can imagine is any position of power, shift that wonderful loving light up through their spine. Good, 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 good. Yeah. And see how many you can catch and just fill with light and fill with love. Fill yourself too. And let's just keep sending love through to them all. And now while we're doing that, let's call in this great vibrational harmonizing force. Again, bring it through the top of your head, down into your heart and out your hands, and start patting it round and round and round the world. I know we didn't close off the Galactic Healing Center yet. We're just letting the love vibration stew in the people of power. Okay, now we're just patting these beautiful kind of salmony pink vibrations to all the parts of the world where the inequities are hurting or where people are sick or there's tremendous loss, there's tremendous tension, there's tremendous poverty, sickness, all the different things that are going on the planet. And I would say if we're wanting to shift our lineage, wanting to move ourselves out of these incredible feelings of competition, jealousy, if I have it, you don't, I want yours, you can't have mine, you know, all that stuff that's been going on. Yeah, let's just fill ourselves with this wonderful harmonizing light and pat it all over this globe. Just pat it anywhere where you can see difficulties, problems, people unrealizing the fact that we're all in this together. And have it go round and round and round the globe and come in through your hands and back up your hand, your arms into your heart. And fill your heart. Good. Move back up your heart. Swish around your head, your brain. I want your brain to be a powerful harmonizing tool, a resonant tool. And shoot up back into the great central spine. What do you think of that? And back down, and I want you to close off the Galactic Healing Center, jump into your star tetrahedron, and spin and spin and spin, and then join me here. How would you like to call in? We got more spirits to talk to, haven't we? Let me just take a look here. I'm just looking around to see who wants to talk to us. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's other ones. Okay, here's the phone number, which is sitting on your screen as well, but I'll give it to you anyway. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And how are you handling the shift? And maybe the shift is including, I mean, what does the shift mean to you anyway? Maybe the shift is actually including seeing more and more spirits. We heard that the veil was thinning and that we would be able to associate with beings across the veil with much more ease. And I really think it's true, don't you? How many of you heard the Paradigm Shifters with Julia Assange? That was so good. I just loved talking to her. It was really wonderful. Anyway, let's see if we can see some spirits here talking to you. Okay, there's somebody here whose father died when she was, I guess you were, I'm going to talk directly to her. You were little, you were small, you were like nine or ten, and your father just sort of faded. He got very, very ill, but he also was kind of eviscerated by life, and there was a feeling that you've had a really strange feeling in your life that he left because you weren't enough. You took on, oh, my goodness, are you pretty heavy as well? You look like you gained a lot of weight. You look like someone who believed that he left because you weren't enough. You weren't doing enough for him. And that's not so at all, honey. He was a very fragile man right from the start. And your mom had to pick up the slack, and she worked a lot and so on. And he was a very, very sensitive fellow. I think of D.H. Lawrence, who wrote Lady Chatterley's Lover, for those of you who aren't literary people. I'll just finish this thought, and then I'm excited that you'll be on the air. In any case, he was that very delicate. He looked like he was almost see-through when he was young, and he was very, very sentimental. He was quite creative, but he wasn't really committed to life on this planet. But you took on the fact that you thought it was because you weren't enough. But I'm watching him, and he's coming to you, and he's saying, I really want you to know it had nothing to do with you. I didn't want to live longer. I really didn't, and it wasn't anything to do with you. And it's right there in your chest. I can see him. He's wanting to unhook, give you permission to be living a strong and robust life. All he wants you to know is that he chose a life that would be short. It had very little to do with you, and he loves you. He watches you, and he really wants to have more completion with you. So if that sounds like you, honey, I would sit down and do some automatic writing, light a candle, talk to him, invite him in, and say, I really need to feel this, and I believe you're going to feel it through the sternum, right through your chest. So I'll leave that for now and take my caller. Good evening. You're on the air, and thank you for calling in. Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Who have I got?
Hi.
What's your name?
Dee.
Hi. What you doing?
I think your show is wonderful, and I'm just interested in seeing what you see in my being.
Well, I think that you're wonderful. You're kind of a warm-hearted, harmonizing kind of person who's a little... what would we say? Really sensitive. You're not really sure. You're not very sure that you're as wonderful as you are. But you have a strong male standing right by you, and he's on the other side. Do you know who that is? It looks like he was in.
That's interesting because I called to see whether he was there.
He is. Was he your husband?
My father.
Well, you know, he's lovely. Did you love him very much?
Yes.
And was he Scott? Here's what I'm seeing is he looks like he reminds me of my father, who always wore overcoats in the winter, things like that. Did this guy wear that sort of thing?
No, he was pretty simple.
Well, this fellow looks... let me see. I'm asking him, is he your dad? He is your dad. He is your father, honey.
Ah.
He wants you to be prepared for something. He says that you... he loves you a lot. He wanted it to be simple, but you know what? He was true to himself. Do you know that? He was very true to himself. And he wanted to be true to you as well. He's got something that he wants to address something. He wants you to be prepared for something. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I'm not sure.
When did he cross?
Many years ago. Yeah, many years ago. Probably maybe 15 years ago.
And is your mom on the other side as well?
Yes.
Okay, because he's saying that you're preparing for something. You see, he honors you. He's proud of you. Do you know that? And he says
that's
you're
wonderful.
And he says you're preparing for something. And it seems like it's a change in plan. Be prepared for a change in plan. And he's
okay.
Very, very, he admires you very much.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he says that you've had more, I think courage, you've taken more chances than he did in a certain way. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
And he wants you to know that he really admires that, that he loved you a lot. He still does. But he's watching you, and he's saying things are going to change for you, and they're going to change well, but they may not seem like it. It's like he's doing a bit of a reading. But he said, I really admire you because you have taken chances where I wouldn't, you know? Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Did he pass with a heart attack?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, his heart.
A massive one, yeah.
Yeah, it took him pretty quickly, did it? Because it really hurt.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he...
Is he with my mother?
Pardon me?
Is he with my mother?
Not right now. Well, wait a minute. She's coming in, but he is on, we'll go back to your mother in a minute, but he is on his own track right now. But he's very, you have a son or something? You have a son?
No, no children.
Okay, so he's also, do you have a nephew? Or there's a young man that he's having something to do with as well. He's trying to help?
No, I have an older friend that he was always trying to help, but not a young person.
Well, he's showing that anyway, he wants to tell you that he has, his heart is free now, and that he's capable of more, what do you call it, adventure than he was when he was alive, more like you are. And yes, he and your mother see each other, but they're on a slightly different track. Your mom has a very rosy heart. Do you know that?
I did not know.
Now, she didn't die that long ago, did she? I don't think she died 15 years ago.
She died before him.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know something is funny, and how did she die? Because she looks like she's just waking up.
She died of cancer.
Was she? Hang on a sec. Here's what's funny about her is I see this really rosy, unfurling heart as if she's just being able to get to that point. That's why I thought she just passed, you know? And that she looks happy, and yet she looks kind of spaced, as if she's not really with us yet. Do you understand what I mean?
Sort of.
Her journey must have been difficult.
Yeah, I think she was not real comfortable with herself or her emotions.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I want to start crying, and that's her. But she is, now I get it, she is finding her way now. She's finally freeing herself from the way she had curtailed a lot of her own joie de vivre, her joy. And she's finally free now, and she's got these beautiful kind of rose-colored etheric plumes coming out of her, which tells me harmony and love and a whole zest for it. But she's not quite into it yet, but she's getting into it. That's why she looked like she just crossed for me. But she has a whole new level. She's a woman who is working quite a lot on who she is and where she's going. She's not so trapped by what was anymore.
I'm glad for her.
Yeah, and she loves you, she really cares, but she wasn't. Now I see her when you're younger, she's not free just to be ebullient, to be to be enjoying everything, you see? She was never really free.
Mhm. Yeah.
And
she
now
wasn't there a lot, yeah.
Pardon me?
She wasn't there emotionally a lot, I didn't think.
She couldn't be. No, she was not free. But she wants you to know, she wants us to know that she's getting free. freer and freer right now. And she and your dad are on our, when we put them together, they'll go together, but they are actually on very different tracks. And your dad's courage, he's working with some other people, and I still see this young man there. And he's very much conscious of his own growth and the courage that he needs for expressing aspects of himself that he didn't get to before, and you do. And he's very proud.
Wow.
And they both really loved you, but your mom, I guess it was an affliction. I'm going to run out of time here. But anyway, there was an affliction when she was young, and she really got squashed inside. Or not squashed, it was like she had a little frame around her that she couldn't let herself get out of. But she's coming out right now. I'd talk to her if I were you. Laugh with her.
Thank you. Her mother put her in a frame. Her own mother did that to her. So,
and
yeah,
she was a fierce
woman. Thank you so much.
She was a fierce woman, her mom. Well, I thank you, Dee, for your courage to call in and let us explore your lineage in global time.
I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. Much love.
Right,
thanks for calling.
You. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So that was really interesting to me. But you see how they're working? They never stop. They're always, like, carrying on with new levels of themselves, just like you are and just like I am. So for Tuesday night's radio show, Paradigm Shifters, we have a woman named Angail O'Grady, and she's written a book. And I always forget to bring the book to here. But anyway, she's written a book where she's channeling Source. So she's not calling it channeling. She's downloading or talking directly to Source about what's going on. She's very, very inspiring. You're going to love her. And her book is called, I forget, but anyway, her name is Angail, which is a very unusual name, Angail Rosie O'Grady. And it's all about what's on the other side and her channels of source energy. It's wonderful. I'm really enjoying talking to these various people. It's just like a big study for me. I really loved, of course you can tell I love Julia Assant's book, Final Frontier, because she gave me permission to go ahead and call in these beings and talk to them and learn as much as I can. Because as she said, it's a final frontier. We're talking about all these deceptions in political groups, in monetary groups, and all over the place, and the GMO thing and so on. And she's saying that the thing that she understood is that we were all deceived about death. Death isn't the end, and it's not a portal into a punishing, hierarchical, highly judged reality. It's just a shift into a place where our thoughts and feelings have created us, and there's still a lot of action there, and there's a huge number of associations, and there's potential for freedom on the other side, freedom from all the traps and descriptions and identities that we had here. But that's a whole big subject, so you might want to tune in and listen to Julia Assant's interview on Paradigm Shifters, because, boy, it was really good. So my name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm asking a bunch of you to check out my website, veronicaentwistle.com. No H in Entwistle, although I think we've got both spellings there now. We have a wonderful guy named Mike, and he's redoing my website, and we're putting up blogs and podcasts and a whole bunch of things that we're just getting going on. So it's a perfect time for you to check in and like it. As you know what the routine is, if you like them, it makes a difference. The other thing is, because it's all new, you get a chance to say, but I wanted to see this or I wanted to see that. And it's a wonderful time just to be in touch with each other. So I hope you're all building up frequencies consciously in order to move through the shift as if you're on surfboards and really having a blast with it and letting go of all the restrictions and things that come from your past and your identity. We're all having to do that these days, aren't we? And learning to love one another. So thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Much love to all of you, and we'll talk soon. Good night.